Yeah, what is going on, New York? Welcome back to another episode of
Knicks Anonymous.
Episode
91.
91, baby. So I had to switch it up a little bit. You know, I'm probably going to do a little bit more creative intros. You know, not the regular year, but always got to keep the year. I feel like the year is like trademark at this point. Even though it's not like mine, but you know, shout out to New York. You know the vibes. Shout out to the Knicks Anonymous family. First and foremost, we love you guys. We are the people's voice.
And you know damn well, we are nothing without the people.
Yes, I almost messed up that word. I can't talk. I don't know why. I got the Knicks game day blood juicing through my veins. Because right now, as you guys can tell, this episode is way late. And we definitely apologize. You know, things happen. Life happens. And I apologize. We apologize.
I think it's actually best we recorded today. I was very, very tired yesterday. I was out of it for some reason. I'm kind of out of it today too, but not as much as I was yesterday, so I'm good to go.
Yeah, I was definitely feeling a little out the weather. I've been getting sick a lot lately. I don't know why.
That's not cool.
It could be the weather. Weather's been bugged out lately. But we here now, trooping it out as usual. Unfortunately, this episode is not going to be that positive. We're going to keep it as positive as we can because we practically lost every game this week or last week.
Well, we did beat the Lakers, so we won one game.
You're right. We did win one game. So
it was a good game, too. Not for nothing. We'll get to that later.
Yes, before we get into that, Stevie, tell the kind people where they can find us.
Absolutely. Follow us on Instagram at Knicks Anonymous. Follow us on Twitter at Knicks Anonymous with a Z. That's K-N-I-C-K-Z Anonymous. Follow us on TikTok at Knicks Anonymous. We check our website, KnicksAnonymous.com. And you can find us on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, and Breaker.
Also, don't forget, we are selling pins. I got mine on. Stevie has his on. I see it. You already know how we do. Get it at KnicksAnonymous.com. We thank you guys for your support.
I did that on purpose.
We thank you guys for your support. Yo, shout out to everybody on Instagram showing us mad love.
I'm just going to take pictures like this.
Show it off as you should. No, this is good stuff right here. This is good quality stuff right here. Don't sleep, y'all. This is some good quality stuff. Check it out. For sure. I post it on the story almost every day, so you already know how we do. Shout out to everybody on Instagram. Shout out to everybody on TikTok, for sure. TikTok has been to the moon. I wish you could see it, Stevie. I'll send you an update every week. But she's blowing up. And yo, shout out to everybody on Instagram who's just chatting with us. We love talking Knicks with you guys. Stevie, how you feel about that?
I love talking Knicks, even with people who don't make sense. You learn a lot. You learn about human behavior talking with those guys.
What do you mean, like?
I don't know. You learn people think different. People see the world different. You know, people even see things that aren't there.
I think that tends to work in the Knick community a lot, I think. A little bit more often than normal, you can say.
Yeah. I was going to say a flawed fan base. That's not the word I was looking for, but for now I'm going to run with that.
We're flawed. We're the kings and queens.
No, I got it. Dysfunctional. That's the word I was looking for. We're a dysfunctional fan base.
We're the kings and queens of malarkey trade rumors. You remember that?
Yeah. Malarkey ass trade rumors.
Malarkey ass trade rumors.
I'm glad that settled down though. You know, the lame trade rumors are over. You know, the sour dreams are done. You know, things are more realistic because we got a set rotation. We got good guys, you know, a good set of guys that can play ball. A lot of tradable assets. So yeah, I'm glad that's over. You know, we'll say that for draft time.
And you know, it's good to note that the realistic version of things is that everything turned out good, or you could even say great. You know what I mean? Imagine if we, like we said last episode, imagine if we listened to Twitter. Imagine if Twitter was in charge, like was the GM. We would probably still be down in the dirt, and they would do it in the name of rebuild.
We should do an episode. We should do like a special. Like what? Do like a multiverse. What if the Knicks listen to Twitter and we say, and we, when we discuss what happened.
That'd be a crazy movie or documentary, whatever we do. Because the receipt, WOD.
Because the receipts are hard to find. So that would be a pretty easy movie to make.
Oh yeah, they're out there. Oh yeah, those tweets are out there.
The receipts are pretty easy to find, unless y'all deleted them.
Nah, y'all one hashtag away from being exposed. I'm not gonna lie.
That's a fact, not for nothing.
Yeah. No. It's cool though. What do they say? When someone copies you, it's the
serious form of flattery.
Exactly. So, you know, everyone's jumping on the bandwagon, which means something good is happening in the Knick world, which is something that us true Knick fans can enjoy. You know, if people want to. People want a bandwagon, I'm not gonna lie, let them. You know what I mean? I'm gonna put my pride to the side because I was big on letting no bandwagons in. But dude, honestly, it's not that serious. You as a fan know what you've been through. You know what, you know what you've seen, and you know you've been through the ups and downs. So you enjoy it. Not everybody else, you know what I mean? They could do what they want. You do what you want. So keep everything peace. I want everything peaceful because still Knick fans still find a way to be angry in a happy situation.
As far as bandwagons go, bro,
it depends who it is too. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I still say bandwagon's not welcome because we are gonna attempt to make that a t-shirt soon.
That is true.
unless here's an idea.
That is true.
Unless we welcome them, but we're gonna constantly judge you. So bandwagons will be judged. That's a good t-shirt too.
Like I told you so. Like, you're gonna constantly get the I told you so, no matter what. Like, yeah, you could jump on the bandwagon, but you're gonna constantly hear me tell me how much.
That could be a t-shirt too. I told you so. I have Tom Thibodeau pointing at you. Like, that'd be on the t-shirt.
trademark. Sure. We gotta write this down.
Oh shit! I'm about to put it. I mean, well, damn. Sorry.
quarter.
I'm about to put it on my phone.
Stay enraged. So let's get into the show, man. So I know we're late, so I apologize if any information you already know, but we are just going through. We just didn't want to skip a week. We couldn't do it to y'all. It's not in our blood. We can't. No days off. You know the vibes. We got to set the precedent. So first thing on this list is that Josh Hart is expected to drop his player option and resign with the New York Knicks. Money is unknown, but just the idea of him doing it is... It hasn't been confirmed. It's just most likely due to his, like, you know, his demeanor towards the team and his attitude overall towards the whole organization. So he seems like to be a keeper. And the fact explain player options, Stevie. You're a little bit better at that than I am.
I don't know the exact science of it or of how it works, but from my understanding, basically, like, player option, the way that works is, like, let's say you sign a 4-year contract and... Right, actually, if you sign a 4-year contract and that fourth year is option, it's really a 3-year contract. You know what I mean? Unless you say yes to that fourth year. That's my understanding of it.
So he's basically going to drop that to, like, do a whole new deal with us, pretty much.
Basically, yeah, he's done it for a raise. Which is, I mean, I can't lie. He's played well for us. I don't think he's going to ask for too much because I know he knows he's a bench player. So I think he'll be reasonable. And he wants to be here. You know what I mean? He has the ties with Jalen Brunson. You know, they went to college together. You know, hopefully they, you know, hint, they're trying to get somebody over across the bridge on board.
You know, there's been a lot of Mikal Bridges talk, bro. I'm not going to lie. It's been out there. We're going to talk more about that on next episode. We're going to bring that up next episode.
Okay. I mean, I haven't heard no talk about it. It's mostly me throwing it in the air.
No, the malarkey trade rumors are there. Or they're there. But it's not as malarkey because this is a little bit more reasonable.
All right, but about Josh Hart though, yeah, like I said, he wants to be here. I assume he'll get a reasonable raise. You know what I mean? He deserves one. He's played pretty well for us. He's made a difference. So I guess I'm all in for that. Yeah,
awesome. I feel like it's good to note that though, that he wants to be here, because it's funny enough that I did say that. I don't know where, what episode, but somewhere down the line, I claimed and stated that we need people. Because at the time, I remember at the time, it was like when we didn't have an identity. Like, this was like the beginning. Like, this is when, like, we didn't know what culture was, any of that. So I remember saying, it doesn't matter who we get, what we get, we just need to get people that want to be here. Because we were sick of people just coming and going, you know what I mean? Like, due to being, quote-unquote, unhappy or whatever with the organ, you know, with Dolan and whatever.
Understandable, but yeah, we were tired of it.
Yeah, so I based my entire argument on how to build a culture was you need people that want to be here. And my, you know, this is it. You know what I mean?
We got people that want to be here.
We have people like Julius Randle was the first to kind of step up and like kind of be like, yo, I don't want the money. I believe in what's going on. And he was the first to set it off. Think of it's crazy how Julius Randle's progression with the Knicks has been like hero turn villain back to hero. It's crazy. His story is wild, and I'm glad that I'm living through it, because this is something special. You're not something great. A lot of people are going to troll me like, oh, yeah, this is the greatest thing to ever happen to the Knicks. Whatever. It's a special moment. I could enjoy it. This is almost, you can compare it to, like, Linsanity, almost, but better.
Better. No disrespect to Jeremy Lin, because I do like Jeremy Lin, but this is way better than
Linsanity. But the idea, bro. You know what I mean? Like, this is like, special like that, you know, like, way, but just way more... You know, special, because think about it. Lin only lasted like a week or two. Julius Randle has been going on this entire, you know what I mean, this whole season. And
bro,
like,
he's taking a lot of BS from Knicks fans, man. And he still doesn't get respect that he deserves. You know, I feel it's time he gets that respect. He's taking a lot from us. He hasn't taken a lot from us personally. Like, we've criticized and all that, but we never flipped on him the way other fans did. He's taking a lot of BS from fans. We mostly sided with him, to be honest.
We just criticized on
I would say play. I would say for the most part, we've sided with him.
Yeah, no, and we've actually apologized and changed our ways. You know what I mean? Like, there was a point where we were just like, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry forever, you know. And I am sorry, 100%. All he needed was help. Jalen Brunson. And we're going to get into that, because this was the problem this whole week. So, no Jalen Brunson. Hurt, right?
How long did they give a timetable?
No.
I know he's out tonight, as far as I know. But
I'm gonna
Dame
need
Lillard, Dame Lillard too's out.
Yeah,
so it's gonna be an even matchup. It's gonna be an even matchup tonight.
I'm gonna need like four different doctors to clear him before he's able to play, because the reason why he got hurt. Well, I'm gonna save that, because that's all. Next week, but. He needs to be sure to come back, because we dead ass need him, like, and it shows in these games. We need him bad. So if he needs the rest, I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to throw these games. Not throw, but you know what I mean, I'm gonna have to sit him out, because I would rather have him in the playoffs, or like, people say like we may drop to the play-in. I'd rather have him in one of those scenarios than not have him in any of those scenarios. You know.
Agreed.
So if he needs the rest, Thibodeau, I'm talking to Tibbs, because Tibbs. You know, Tibbs don't care sometimes. You know, he has a track record.
From what I heard, he's the one who wanted to play.
You see, that's not, you gotta.
From what I heard, that's what I'm saying. Like,
he wants to be a superhero.
I like that about him, but bro, there's no shame in sitting, bro. But lucky for him though, like, our next game is Saturday, so who knows? Maybe this might be enough rest. But yeah. Hold on 1 second. Let me see something. My fault.
Now you good. So
after Saturday, I just wanted to see something real quick. My fault, bro. After Saturday, our next game is Monday. So would you sit him from the Nuggets? Because we got the Nuggets Saturday, and then Monday we got the Timberwolves. I would think about sitting him for the Nuggets.
I think he's playing. I think he'll play.
I would think about sitting him for the Nuggets. I would think about it.
I think
if he's like at least at not 80-85%, then yeah, I would think about sitting him though. I don't know about you. Because not for nothing, bro. We counted the Nuggets as an L anyway. Let's keep it funky. I'm not saying we can't beat the Nuggets and it's impossible, but that's That's a game we counted as an L. Just to throw it out there.
And it could be very possible. Not only do we lose, but he could actually get hurt again. So he could get hurt and a loss. So
that's what I'm saying. So I'd much rather rest him to the T-Wolves.
That's a hard one. I would just keep that game time decision, really. Personally, though, I don't think I would do it. If he's not, I need 95%. I need 90 to 95%. Not even 90. I need 93 and up. Like, dead ass, because you are too important to this franchise to not be at
100%. I'm telling you, bro, I would consider sitting him on Saturday. If he could go, cool, but I would really consider it.
That's, you know, it's a good take. You know, I respect it. So let's get into this week, right? So coming into the Hornets game, the Knicks were currently, heavy on the word, were currently on a 9-game winning streak. I mean, yo, everything was falling, everything was happy, sunshine and rainbows. Of course, when Knicks fans get to the end of the rainbow, there is never a pot of gold.
I think you called it too, that this would be a trap game.
I didn't call it, I just jinxed it. I jinxed it so bad, and I didn't know at the time.
You're not the only one, because you know what, on the game day post, I put no LaMelo, no chance. Boy, was I wrong. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Here's what I did. So what, basically, the day I posted the Julius Randle video, where it was like we were the first team to be undefeated. We were the only team to be undefeated coming after the All-Star break. This is the game that broke it. I posted it. I was like, yo, you wish that was you, huh? Like, you remember that video? Like, when I was laughing? Yeah. That was that same day.
That was that day?
That was that day.
See? We both did
and
it.
And then not only that, it gets worse. Not only that, I betted the money line for them to win.
So did I.
Dude, I had 4 games on that parlay ticket. I had the 4-game parlay. 2 of those games, they came back to win on buzzer beaters. The Knicks proceeded to lose a 12-point lead and lose by...
Final score was 112-105. They lost by 7.
7. Sorry, my math sucks.
It's all good.
That was terrible.
Main reason we lost, bro, they killed us in the second half, bro. 62-39. Count it. 62-39. The Charlotte Hornets did that. No LaMelo ball. That's what I get for saying no LaMelo, no chance, bro.
The dreaded third quarter has come to kill us. It's like a horror film. It's like a Scream or a Jason or a Freddy.
And the fourth. We did terrible in the fourth. We scored 16 points.
Oh, I see. That's not good. That's not how you win a ball game.
At least we scored 23 in the third, even though they killed us by scoring 37. So.
And look at their top hitters. Terry Rozier at 25 points. Gordon Hayward, 23 points. Kelly Oubre Jr.
Kelly Oubre killed us. Kelly Oubre had a real good game.
He had that dagger three at the end, and he blew a kiss.
Kelly Oubre played real well this game, bro.
And they were bowing at the end of the game. I was like, oh please. That was Oubre
that did that. I was tight. Yeah. I'm tight at that.
Nah, don't be tight, bro. That was whack. Tight at that. That's their championship. That was whack.
He said that's their championship.
That was so whack. That was so corny.
On the bright side, we shut down DSJ.
Yeah, we booed that, man. I'm not gonna lie. That was bad, bro. What we did to DSJ, I apologize, DSJ. Not many Knicks fans will, but I will. I'm sorry. And here's the crazy... No. Here's just a real quick float off. What we did to Dennis Smith Jr., that wasn't my intention. I just booed him just because I didn't like him. The echoes of boos followed with me. I was like, wait, we're on the same
thing. I was talking about this game. We shut him down. You talking about? You went way back.
No, because
we kind of fall back there, buddy. You gotta give the people some context on that one.
I thought that's why you brought up Dennis Smith.
No, I'm saying we shut him down. Damn, bro, you brought back. You traumatized that you did that to DSJ?
Nah, it's just
my bad. We booed him.
Yeah, it's just hilarious that it's funny that. What I was thinking everybody else was. I was just booing him just because. The fact that the entire Garden did it along with me was... I thought that was pretty funny. I was like, wow.
He's talking about when DSJ was here, y'all. In case y'all was wondering. That one time... I forgot who we were playing, but that was that one time in the Garden where he got booed out the building. That's what LJ talking about. He kind of tight he did that. But I only brought him up because we shut him down and he went 1-for-6. And I said that was a positive in the game. Because usually former Knicks kill us in the Garden.
You're right. You're 100% correct.
This time around, we didn't let that happen. We just let Kelly Oubre and Scary Terry do it.
Okay, let's flip the script here. The man, the myth, the legend has woke up out of the coma and is awake like a butterfly. RJ Barrett, 27 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 10 of 24, 1 of 7 from 3. Damn it, RJ. What the... Can you just shoot better or shoot less of threes? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what is it?
Yeah, like, you're good at the mid-range, bro. You should stick to that. Like, you those threes you take that you miss, that could be like, look at it this way. The way I see it, like, just hypothetically speaking. Let's say RJ Barrett goes like 3 for 9 from three. Three of them shots, instead of taking 9 threes, could have took 6, and the other 3 could have been mid-range shots that you had a better chance of hitting, especially considering you're a good mid-range shooter. No, but that's just me. I don't know what you think about that.
Listen, he had a... I don't want to take away from his performance. He had a...
Well, yeah, my fault. I don't mean to criticize like
that. No.
You're right. That's just something I was thinking. But he did have a great game. He had a great game. You know what I mean? I'm sorry about that. You're right.
No.
I was kind of being negative there for a second.
No. Listen, Stevie, your take is always respected, and you're actually on the right track here, because he had a good, 41% from the field. Not the worst, you know what I mean? But, that's pretty solid. And the 14% from three, like you said, the threes that you could have took, the threes you did take, you could have used them in a more efficient way. You could have added to that 41%, made it 45 maybe, and added the buckets that we needed in the times that we needed them. You know what I mean? Because this is time now, RJ, because this is a game where RJ now has the backpack and has to lead us to promised land. No Jalen Brunson. Julius Randle had a bad game, 16 points, 5 of 17, 2 of 9. That is a bad game. That's crazy, right? That's 16 points. Bad 16, game.
16-8-3 is a bad game for Randle. That's crazy.
That's OD. That's nuts. Emmanuel quickly, 14 points. Mitchell Robinson, 14 points. Shout out to you. And Quentin Grimes, 12 points. So this was a game where RJ, this was like a test for him. In a way, he kind of failed, but it was good. A lot of good things to take out of it. Like, he didn't get us the win, but 27 points, you can't overlook that. Taking 24 shots, taking most shots out of the entire team, showing authority, showing
the confidence.
He knows the situation he's in, and he's gathering this information. Everybody's struggling, and I'm hot, so let me cook. So I shout out to RJ. I do think he needs to still learn a couple of things, like the shot selection. I feel like the threes he needs to not cut out.
Cut down. Sometimes he's hot. You know what I mean? So when he's hot, I wouldn't mind him shooting them. Don't force the issue is all we're saying.
And we were rebounding, man. We were rebounding really well. Josh Hart, 8 rebounds. Mitchell Robinson,
that's what I like
rebounds.
About Josh Hart, dude. Josh Hart's like the best rebounding guard. And I'm gonna say ever, but
and not good. For nothing.
I'd be crossing the line if I said ever, but he's pretty good.
This is a pretty efficient stat line for a bench player, though. 10 points, 8 rebounds. Like that's a bad game for Hart, but that's exactly what you kind of need from him. McBride came in, gave you some solid minutes. Yo, I love McBride so much, dude. I love the fact that he's just able to just come in and play. Like, he's always ready. Yep. He comes into these games ready.
Deuce ball, baby.
I love McBride, dude. Toppin, yeah, bro. I'm gonna let you talk
him
about
too. This. He, you know, he's inconsistent. He always comes ready to play. I give him that.
That's your boy. I can't. I want Toppin out of here.
I mean, yeah. I mean, for the right price.
No, obviously, yes. Now, maybe for the bag of chips. I don't know. Not imagine. Chill. So Knicks fall short. 105 to 112. Heartbreaking. I lost money.
So did I. You're not the only one.
I lost $4. Could have been 45.
Cry about it. I lost 25. Could have been 300.
Yeah.
Now I had other bets in there too.
Damn. That's tough. Sorry.
Oh, good. It happens. It happens.
I'm so sorry.
Moving on to the King. This game kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Final score 122-117 Kings.
I didn't really feel in control at all.
Bro, we had no control from the get-go, bro. Like, we weren't ready for their pace.
At all.
That's what
we
got out of
their
game. usually don't tell me if I'm wrong. This includes you, Knicks fans, not just you, LJ. Usually, even if the Knicks lose the first quarter, they at least get off to a good start and have somewhat control of the pace. They had absolutely no control of the pace, bro. They literally ran us out the building. We would not, you know what it is? The last time we played them, they didn't have De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox is a pace changer. He's literally the fastest player in the NBA. So I don't think we were ready for that. And I think that's what happened in that game. Yeah, and they locked us down.
They locked us down. Yeah, okay, so this brings up a good conversation. Because I remember we were talking about being clamped. You remember?
No. I only disagreed with the wording. That's all. Okay. How did I remember the conversation? Like, I wasn't disagreeing with you. I was disagreeing with the wording. Because when you say clamped, since you brought it up.
Yeah, so let's bring context. So basically, I told Stevie that they pretty much clamped us down for the majority of the game. Like, they kept our heavy hitters in check and turned defensively. Like, it wasn't just a bad, because I think you said they just had a bad game. But I was saying, like, I think this was more than just a bad game. I think it was more on, we just got outplayed and outcoached at the end of the day. Like, their schemes were just working on us. You know what I mean? Like, we weren't adapting into situations that we needed to adapt in, pretty much.
That's a fact. I only disagreed with the wording. I only disagreed when you said clamps. Because when I think clamps, I think lockdown. And when you lock down, you lock somebody down, like, for the whole game. And they didn't lock us down for the whole game.
We made a run.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, we adjusted to their pace after a while.
Just
we
too late. Won.
Yeah, exactly. It was just too late. They already ran us out. You know what I mean? That's all I was saying. But for the most part, you were right.
So, right now, I'm gonna give you the shooting numbers, right? So, Julius Randle, 36% from the field, 16% from three. RJ Barrett,
that was a horrible game, bro.
39% from the field, 12% from three. Quentin Grimes, 53% from the field, 40% from three. Very good. Jalen Brunson did make an appearance this game. Tried to make an appearance this game.
Bad idea, bro. He played good, though. 19-2-2. Played good. Just bad idea to bring him in, bro.
He got hurt. He did get hurt. And this is why he's out currently. So I think with him we would have won. I think we could have come back and rallied it around and, you know, got the points that
I believe it.
You know, that we needed. But it comes down to, like, what Stevie said, you know, the start. You know, I think we got outcoached. I think Grimes just wasn't ready for the game plan. I'm not Grimes, sorry. Thibodeau. I don't think Thibodeau was ready for De'Aaron Fox. I don't think he realized how much of a. They're the professionals. They watch film. They take notes. They do their homework. So it's not that they didn't plan for him. It's just that there's anomalies. There's things you cannot game plan for. You know what I mean? Sometimes he's just feeling it, and it looked like De'Aaron Fox was feeling it. He looked rejuvenated, he looked fresh, he looked ready to go, and he was doing what De'Aaron Fox does. You know, guys like that, I think he slept on, honestly. I think Fox is, even though he's the fastest man in the NBA, I think he's kind of, his ability to be a threat, I guess, is a little bit underrated, you know?
I could agree to that. Because I don't hear his name a lot in conversations as one of the best point guards. And he's climbing those ranks, especially if he has a good postseason. You know what I mean? And yeah, like I said, we weren't ready for him. And not specifically him neither. You said you brought up Mike Brown. I think Mike Brown should be coach of the year.
I think he's in the running for it, I believe.
I think he should. I wouldn't be mad if he got it. Like, we spoke before and said, like, Tibbs should be in consideration. But I would say Mike Brown deserves it more.
So, yeah, so what was happening is they were making everything hard for us, like, legitimately hard. And their defense, they went into a zone. You know, we have problems with the zone. They were in the lanes. And every time, so they game planned around Randle. They wanted to make sure they let us beat them and not Randle, because obviously Randle's been going crazy. And even though they were locking him down, not locking him down, but, you know, giving him a hard time, he still scored 23 points. But at the end of the day, you shoot 8 for 22 and 2 for 12. You know, like, who the... How do you shoot 12 shots and not...
You hit two, bro. You, see, that's... Like, that's when that shot selection again, to stop? Bro.
When does it stop? When do you tell yourself mentally to stop? You know what I mean? And, you know, this is the Brunson effect. Randle, and it we're going to talk about it in the Clippers game, because it really showed, the frustration really blew up in that Clippers game. But here, I feel like this is where the frustration was building. You can tell how much of a difference Brunson makes for Randle, because Randle is now forced to go back to old Randle, which is, you know, the Melo effect, the black hole, and trying to create for himself. And what would happen is that every time we did that spin move, the fidget spinners back, they would double and rip him from behind. Every time. Every single time. They pretty much wanted him to do it. They baited him to do it each time. And he was, you know, how many turnovers he had? 4 turnovers, you know. So he's looking like old Randle in this situation without Brunson. Shout out to RJ again, 25 points, another big performance, you know, 2 under his last, you know, his shooting was just, you know what I mean? Like, 1 for 8 from 3, 9 for 23. Again, they made it super hard for us, you know, and they're big. They're a big team. Sabonis was cooking. He was looking,
dude, oh my God,
looking like, bro, a beast, bro.
I didn't realize he had the ability to bring the ball up like that. He's basically white Julius Randle.
I think he might be better.
I think they're about the same. I would rank them about the same.
I don't know. I think he's better by a little bit. I think he got a little bit on Randle.
By as far as what?
The rankings. I think he's above him twice on a couple of lists. Like,
no, but like, why would you rank him over Randle though? Because I think they're the same exact player. They both bring the ball up. Smarter. They both double machines.
Sabonis is way smarter than Randle, I think.
Okay.
Sabonis knows his strengths.
I'll give you that.
Sabonis knows his strengths and uses them each time, every time. Can't stop it, it's done. Because that's what he was doing. He was going to the paint every time, and no one's stopping until he's, I'm going to keep just doing it. How much does Sabonis have?
Sabonis had
24 points. It didn't feel like it, though. It felt like he had 40.
He had 24, 30. He had a triple-double. Wow. 24, 13, and 10. I mean, his father is Arvydas Sabonis. Look him up.
I don't know who that is.
His father was basically... Arvydas Sabonis was basically the first Jokic. If you want to be technical.
I mean, he plays like I think he's the best. I think he's the best looking traditional, not traditional, like new age type of power forward. Like, I think Randle. Yeah, I think Randall's like right under him. If Randle can learn to like,
if he became a smarter player, they'd be even.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I could agree with that. Okay.
If he used his brain a little bit more, or. I don't know. Not to say he doesn't use his brain. You know, I don't mean to diss nobody, but like, you know, something he's got to do something better. You know, so I think if he could just tune up the IQ, he just got to make. I think his decisions got to be faster. You know, but you know, what I mean, like, he's too slow. Like, he watches doubles come to him. I've noticed that he'll just watch the double come to him. In fact, he'll like invite it, and then he'll just hold the ball there for a second and like just think. He does the okay. Like, he is the now what?
Oh, you know okay, what I mean? Okay, I hear you.
He does the, you know, now what?
Is? You know what I think it is as well? Maybe he's just decisive.
What do you maybe mean? Maybe, like... Explain.
Like, all right, because we're saying, like, he goes right to the double team. Maybe the possibility is there, because it just hit me.
No. Not that he goes into the double team. He waits, like, so, like, he'll be in the corner, and he'll watch the guy come to him.
No,
like,
that's what I mean. And I understand that, but what I mean by when he's decisive is maybe he made his decision to do what he's going to do regardless of what the situation is. You know what I mean?
He's hard-headed.
You know what I mean? So that, yeah.
I can believe that. I can definitely believe that.
Because to an extent, that's a good thing. But it can be detrimental at times, such as what we saw in this game.
Yeah, especially when
you do want to do, because you do want a dude that's decisive, that knows what he's going to do. You don't want a dude that doesn't know what he's doing. You know what I mean? And Randle, he's coming at you. He knows what he's going to do.
And this was a very physical game, and I feel like Randle's been taken out. I feel like when you see Randle arguing with the refs a lot, you kind of know that his mental is not in the right spot. You know, like, I knew he was kind of off his game the moment he started you know, reaching for calls and just yelling at the refs and stuff like that. I was like, yeah, he's not looking too hot. And the story of the week, honestly, was that the Knicks seemed gassed and, you know, tired. You know, and I did make a video about it, about the Thibodeau effect. I don't really stand on it, really, because at the end of the day, someone made out a good point that, like, you know, this is conditioning pretty much. You know, you can only get used to it if you do it. So, you know, it's good that they're playing high minutes. You know, I don't mind it, especially with a young team, because when you're young, you can do that. You can, you know, it may not be unlike, you know, because Brunson and Randle are a little bit older. You know, so it's probably good to note on that a little bit, you know, so you don't run them down. Because I'm not blaming, you know, Brunson's injury on Thibodeau for having him in for so long. But fatigue does play a role in injury. So, you know, I'm not saying it's his fault, but, you know, it probably could have been prevented if you made. Because maybe it was something that was hurting him. And, you know, and he was like, you know, he probably brought it up. He was like, oh, nah, he did the Brunson thing. Oh, nah, I could play. And then it got worse, you know, and he actually hurt it, you know. So rest is definitely needed. But I don't think it's a problem, though. I don't think it's the reason why we'll lose, because I don't think being tired is an excuse. You know, you're in the NBA. This is top dollar league. You know what I mean? You train every day. You know, you're being paid to be in the best physical condition that you can be in. So I don't think getting tired, if you get tired, you're not a real winner. You know, you got to be able to push through adversity and keep going, you know what I mean? Like, so I could have used that as an excuse before, like when they were first getting started, but now these guys are three four years, you know, in it already, you know. So it's game time, it's time to go. Like,
that's a fact. I agree,
you know. So let's move on. So right now they are currently on a 2-game losing streak.
This was bad.
So what happened from the Hornets to the Kings to the Clippers? It was like a roller coaster. Or no, it was like it was a time bomb. And the Clippers game was 0-0-0-0 on the clock, and the bomb just. This game was really hard to look at. So I just want to talk about it now in the beginning, because I feel like this was the topic of the game.
Final score, Clippers 106, Knicks 95, just to get that out the way.
Yeah, so somewhere in the game, something happened with Julius Randle. He did, there was a play or something, and I think like he didn't get a foul call. Something wasn't going his way. I didn't think it wasn't going his way. No one could score. I mean, let me look at Julius Randle real quick. 19 points, 5 of 24, 3 of 10. You know, so he definitely was frustrated. So something had happened, and he was getting really, really heated to the point where he kind of went back to the thumbs down kind of attitude Randle. He started yelling at coaches on the bench. He started kind of yelling at players, and he was kind of just losing it. He, like, straight lost it. And what's the assistant coach name again? I'm sorry, Johnny Bryant. Yeah, I don't know why I call him, I don't know why I keep thinking Ainge. I don't know why. Johnny Bryant pulled him to the side, had to, like, pretty much hold him and, you know, really get into his face and talk to him. So shout out to him for actually, you know, doing that. Tibbs had to hug him at one point to try to, like, just hold him back, just so he wouldn't get, like, thrown out the game. So it was a bad look. And let me I want to explain that. I disagree what he did with the thumbs down thing. I disagree with that. I don't disagree with this. This is more so frustration with himself. This is not about anybody else. In that moment, he was very stressed because Brunson is out, and now he's back to doing what he was bad at doing, which was being the leader of, you know, being the main distributor of the team, you know, the offense running through him, you know. So that stress is coming back. He's not doing well in the process. You know, he's having a bad slump because he knows what he can do, and we know what he can do. And this is not what he can do. So he definitely feels that anger, and it just popped. You know what I mean? You know, you're one slap on the wrist away, you know, from not getting that call, from just exploding. You know what I mean? You get angry. you know, and he's already a dude that already stated before that he has kind of, you know, a little bit of an anger, you know, problem. Like, he has a temp, like, he's just competitive, you know, he's super competitive to the point where he has, you know, anger, you know. So, you know, that's why he got the you know, the USA, you know, the meditation, you know, he's chilling in the mind. So I feel like, you know, people have their breaking points and he had his. So how do you feel about it, Stevie?
I agree for the most part. Wasn't a good look. This game actually was, bro, not for nothing. Aside from Quickly, who had a pretty decent game. Bro, if it wasn't for Quickly, we would have got blown out. We would have got blown out if Quickly didn't have a decent game.
Barry kind of fell into that slump again.
It wasn't good, bro. I think this is one of our worst losses of the season, actually, even though, like, we've had blowout losses before. Like, aside from the Hawks loss where we blew the 23-point lead and then lost by the 23, I would say this would be the worst one,
because this one kind of just felt, because
of the way it looked, it wasn't like, it was frustrating to watch. Like, I didn't catch it live. I watched it later in the night because I was at the baby shower. At Sean's baby shower. Big shout out to my cousin Sean, by the way. Congratulations. Bro, it was frustrating to watch, bro. Like, nothing looked good. Nothing looked fluid. Even the defense looked sloppy. You know, usually, like, our offense would look sloppy and the defense would at least show up a little, but, like, both looked sloppy that day. Like, nothing clicked for some reason.
The ball wasn't falling, nothing. We couldn't score. There was times where, like, we were at the basket and shit was just rimming out. It didn't look good, you know, and it looked, like you said, sloppy. And that's pretty much the definition of this game. It was just sloppy anger.
And I hate to say it, bro. I hate to say it. And this is the first time I'm saying this season. Because, like I said, we love the guy and we've defended him many times. But we lost this game because of Randle, bro.
Absolutely.
I hate to say it. We lost this game because of Randle.
Absolutely. When you need your leader the most and he breaks, you know. You know, I understand why he broke, but at the end of the day, you know, there's consequences to your actions. Because you broke, so did the team. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm not mad that you broke, but because you broke.
Yeah, we lost the game.
This is the consequence, you know.
Cuz think about it, bro. Like, a sloppy game, look, we only lost by 9, so we still had a shot, but as you said, he broke.
You know, I don't blame him, but it happened. So, and because it happened, it was a sloppy game, you know. Your body language, you know, especially when you're the big dog on the court, everyone's looking at you for the energy, looking at you for, you know, so when he's hitting those big shots, everybody's looking at him, everybody's getting excited. Quick, you know, it's no coincidence that once Julius Randle gets hot, Quickly's getting hot. And then Quickly getting hot, Brunson getting hot. You know, they see each other getting hot and they want to, you know, it makes them want to contribute more. So when they see, you know, the top dog arguing, you know, losing his mind, you know, that's going to translate to everybody else on the court. So I feel like that's what happened this game. Just a lot of anger and frustration.
Yes, sir.
And it all has to do, with Jalen Brunson. At the end of the day, this is, you know, this, if anything, if you got anything from this week, it shows how important, if you didn't know how important Jalen Brunson was, you do now. Like, because these are all winnable games with him, by the way. Like, we still could have been winning right now.
I agree,
we still could be winning because we lost it, we came back against the Kings, you know, the Hornets we could have easily won with Brunson. The Clippers,
we had a shot. I think we had a shot. Again, as sloppy as that game was, we only lost by 9. You know, so I think there was still a chance had Brunson played.
I think they're very winnable. So with all that negativity out the way, drum roll. The Knicks were able to find a way to crawl themselves out the hole that they created and win against Stevie's favorite player,
LeBron. Actually, James. He didn't play.
He didn't play, but we still beat his team. So,
yep. Staying rich. Knicks 112, Lakers 108. And you know what? Since I said we lost the last game because of Randle, it's only right to say we won this game because of Randle.
Yes, sir. My boy had a huge pop out.
You know what's crazy, too? It looked like he was going to have another bad game in the beginning. because the first couple of shots he took, like one bounced off the backboard, didn't hit the rim. The other one like hit the bottom of the rim. It was looking sloppy at first. Then all of a sudden they started dropping. I was like, oh, okay. All right, you back in rhythm.
This was kind of fun. Yeah. This was a fun one to watch. You know, this was good. Everybody was in fluid motion. And quick snapple fact. This is the second time in a decade where the Knicks had 40 wins.
Sweet.
Put a smile on your face, Knicks fans.
That's right. We're at 40. Four more and we reached the prediction.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough four, bro. We could get one tonight, though. We could steal one tonight.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. And not for nothing in this Lakers game, bro. Big shout out to the bench. Oh, my God, bro. I cannot stress that enough. Big shout out to the bench, particularly Deuce. Bro, his perimeter defense was elite, and it was imperative for the win and set the tone. Bro, like you gotta said, love man, it.
He's ready.
Gotta love it, bro. And he hit buckets. He had, hold on, I'm trying to get the stats. I'm sorry, y'all.
He had eight points,
two boards, an assist, and three steals. Let's go, Deuce.
Like I said, man, he's locked in, ready to go. And I like that about Deuce. You know, he's ready to take on any job at any time. And his defense, like you said, is clamped down. He's clamps. Would you consider him clamps?
He's clamps.
He is clamps. I agree.
And I forgot who said it during the no, it was Jeff Van Gundy who said it during the telecast. That if given more minutes, Deuce McBride can be an All-NBA defender. And we've said that many times.
So, yeah, we got to figure that one out. But shout out to the heavy hitters.
He just has to develop a consistent shot. Once he does that, he'll get minutes.
RJ Barrett. Again. 30 points. 5 rebounds. 2 assists. The shooting, though, my boy. The shooting. 44% better.
That's not bad.
12% from 3, my friend. We got to fix this. Again, you shoot 8 threes and you made 1. When do you tell yourself enough is enough?
Because you could have at least 5.
You could have cost us. You know, same with Randall, 3 of 12. Again, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you guys? When do you say stop?
And didn't help that D'Angelo Russell was hot from 3. So yeah, that could have cost us. But you know, luckily for us, that's where the bench came into play.
Hallelujah, man. Amen. Shout out to the bench. And shout out to the Knicks team as, you know, as a whole. You know, they're going
and one other dude off the bench, Iheart, bro. He got clutch rebounds, bro. On the offensive and defensive end, bro. Like, a lot of people wanted to trade Iheart, bro. I think, unpopular opinion, I think he may have earned another season with the Knicks.
I think so. I can agree to that.
He may have earned that. Not saying not to move him at the deadline if the move don't come up. You know what I mean? If you have to.
You know what I mean? He's earned himself a right price.
Yes, he's earned himself a spot next year, in my opinion. So shout out to Iheart. You know what I mean?
I agree. He definitely – and he's – I'm proud of him, too, because he's actually adapting. He's fitting into the role he needs to be fit, like, for. You know, because he said, this is not my usual role. I'm used to just, you know, shooting threes. And he's actually playing, like, a traditional – center, and he's doing pretty good at it because he has a big body. So Tibbs is showing him the ropes at you know, old school. Said old school wasn't gonna work. It worked for Iheart because now he has a hook shot. He has that hook shot he does.
I still want him to shoot more threes if given the chance, but like I said, big shout out to him, man. He's earned a spot here next year. I hope he continues to play well, and I put money on it. I'm willing to bet come playoff time he's gonna make an impact.
I think he will, because think about it. You're going against the you're going against the bench, and you're pretty much would you consider Iheart a starter? Would you think he's like, if he goes to another team, he could start somewhere?
Marginal starter. I would say situational, not full-time, but he can't start.
He's pushing starter, and you're going against the bench's, you know, center. Not to say that the bench's center is whack, but same with Quickly. Like, Quickly has starter potential, but he's going against the other team's bench.
I understand your logic. I hear what you're saying.
You know what I mean? So, you know, that's good to have.
Iheart has that potential. He has that potential.
And he's a veteran with big playoff experience. Because he's the reason why the Clippers actually made that run they were on. He was a big part of that.
Yeah, he had a good playoff last year. He damn sure did.
So he has playoff experience, something that we need. So we have playoff experience in iHeart. Julius Randle now, I guess, seasoned.
Brunson, if healthy. Brunson.
No, when healthy. Come on, Stevie, I need better energy than that.
Yeah, my bad. Sorry.
Josh Hart.
That's playoff experience, yep.
And Derrick Rose.
You think they're saving Rose for the playoffs?
Absolutely. I think he's going to make an appearance, and it's going to be wicked.
I hope so, bro. Like, that former MVP, I mean, you could only use that. It could only be a good thing.
Listen, Kevin Garnett said it. Well, okay, no. Whoa. See, we need content for next episode, ladies and gentlemen. You almost got me there. Almost had me there. Almost. So, Stevie, how would you kind of cap this week off? I think, personally, it was just, you know, a lot to deal with because of Brunson not being around. And we're playing against teams now that are honing in on us and want to beat us now. We're a hot team. We're like a basically a hot target. So we're going to have teams that are going to be a little bit more pumped up to play us. And now when we're not at our best, you know, and I'm not saying there's no excuses. You know, you got to play with who you have, you know, but you got to understand how much of an impact Brunson has on this team. He's pretty much, he's literally the main piece, one of the main pieces of this team, if not the main piece on the team. So I wouldn't really hold this week against the Knicks. I think they, you know, they did the best they could probably. You know, I would want to have maybe a little bit more. But again, Jalen Brunson is that little bit more. So, you know, I think it was, obviously I don't like to lose. So it was bad, but it wasn't like nothing to really threat over. You know what I mean? We're still in good position. We didn't drop in the standings really, you know, so... What do you think, Steve? How would you summarize this?
I agree. You know, I would have much rather win at least one extra game, rather except for the Laker game. But not that I'm not happy we won the Laker game. You know, the win is a win. But it would have been cool to get one other one because it would have helped, like you said, with the standings. But like you said, like, we didn't move. We're still good. I think if we win tonight, we go up to fifth, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. But I think we move in the standings if we win tonight. So I think tonight is a big game.
That's dope,
and I got us winning tonight. I got us winning tonight and losing against Denver.
Cam Reddish is going to have zero. Staying raised in New York. So,
think listen. So? I don't know, bro. I don't think Cam going to have a great game, but I think he at least going to drop double figures to try to make a statement.
Nah, McBride clamping him up. I don't want to hear it. Josh Hart clamping him up. His replacement is clapping him up.
I can see that happening. Not saying that won't happen.
That was your players to watch. That was your...
Yeah, Josh Hart and Cam, yeah. They the trades. That's what everybody gonna watch. Like, all right, let's see what happens.
Yeah. So shout out to that. So the game's about to start in like an hour. So this is where the episode ends. Thank you for everybody for dealing with us and our BS for being late. I apologize again. We deeply apologize. We will not be doing
our
this
bad.
Again.
Our bad.
I agree. So shout out to everybody. Follow us on Knicks Anonymous on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, or Twitter with the Knicks with the Z.
And the website, KnicksAnonymous.com.
And the website, yes. We love you guys. We are the people's voice.
And as I always say, we are nothing without the people.
Love you guys.